Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Tonight I want to talk to you about the simplicity of believing God. And I just want to work through some scriptures. This is a healing night, but sometimes we literally have to pause and understand why we believe what we believe. And for all of us on a personal level, what we believe is different than what others believe. Like, we're gathered here tonight, so we believe similar things. We believe that Jesus is the only way to God, most likely. We believe that he is our Savior. We believe John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. And so we believe similar things, but our experience and what we do in God and how we follow God is based on what Chris said right at the beginning of the service, is what you believe about God is the most important thing about you, because that dictates how you respond to God in life. And so much of our time and our culture, we can be weighed down by external things, and we start living our Christian life based on our culture or our family or our churches or our environments, when we're actually supposed to live our lives based on the Word of God and by the Spirit. And so we have to know what we believe to walk this out. I had quite an experience this past Sunday morning, and I'm just going to share it quick because it's partly a challenge, and then partly, you know, God did something for me. And I woke up. I'm going to make it real brief, but I woke up Sunday morning, and all of a sudden I had a lot of pain in my lower back and my hip, and I thought, this is unusual. And my family, the way we seek God for the area of healing, we started addressing it right away. In the name of Jesus, pain go. I mean, that's how we are. And so the pain didn't go right away, though. And so about half an hour into it, I went, and my wife was, you know, ministering to me, and we were trying to figure out, and it was getting kind of worse. And so I went and woke up my 13-year-old daughter, and because she's also a prayer warrior. And I walked into her room, and she kind of, you know, was disturbed that I was waking her up so early, because she had stayed up late the night before. But when she realized what was going on, she immediately came, and she put her hands on me and says, "Daddy, you're going to be okay. In the name of Jesus, pain go." I mean, she started praying the same way we pray. I mean, we've been doing this since 2006, I think, the way our family tackles things like this. And this is just us, you know. But the pain got worse. Long story short, I finally consented, which I typically never do. But the pain was so bad, I finally went to the emergency room. And, you know, I haven't been there. I don't know if I've, maybe one other time in my whole life, or twice, I can't remember, when I was a kid. And, you know, I finally realized through, you know, logic that either it's appendicitis, but it came on so quick, so I kind of ruled that out. It must be a kidney stone, which I was always terrified of those things because of how much pain it produces, or I've heard stories, you know. And so I got to the emergency room, and I was in severe pain when they started doing the testing. But they got me back to the room, and my wife is still with me, and we're still praying, and we're taking authority over this. And we're asking God to disintegrate that stone, because that's what we figured out. I mean, the front desk said that. They put me in a trauma room, and I got a gown on, and I laid down. And we're praying. My wife is having this wonderful prayer time. She was telling me, "I feel God in here," and all this. And I'm like, "That's great," you know. But then all of a sudden, about 5 minutes after that, before they even started testing, the pain was gone.
And I was like, this is a good place to lay, you know. I'd already made deals with God, like, I'm going to drink more water now, God, than ever before, I promise you. Just take the pain away. God have mercy, you know, those kind of things, along with taking authority over what was going on. But the doctor breezed in. I got, they had a hard time getting the IV going. They got the IV going, but no blood on this arm. Then on this arm, the lab had to come in, and she tried and tried and tried, said something about deep roving or moving veins or something like that. And so, I finally asked her, did you get it yet? You know, it's kind of and so they got the blood, but I told them, I said, I don't have any pain anymore. And the doctor breezed in and he said, sir, I know you don't want to be here, but I think you got a kidney stone. And so we got to finish testing. We're going to do a CT scan real quick. And I said, doc, I actually don't have any pain anymore. He said, oh, you will. Don't worry. It might be just in between somewhere, you know, that kind of a thing. And my wife piped up and said, actually, we're praying and believing that God has disintegrated that thing. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, you know, whatever. You know, you can pray if you want, kind of a thing. And then he breezed out, and they took me down for the CT scan, and then I waited for about an hour. And all of a sudden, he came back in, and he said, well, you passed that thing already. And I said, oh, well, good. I mean, and he says, you know what? I see pieces of it in your bladder. On the CT scan, he said, it's like it's disintegrated. And my wife goes, that's exactly what we were praying for. And he goes, yeah. And then she said it, and he goes, yeah. And he goes, like you were praying, oh, please, God, stop the pain. And then he says, you're really lucky. He said, you can just go. I mean, their pieces are so small, you're not going to notice them. And he said, it's probably not worth it to do anything else. And so I went home two and a half hours in the emergency room, and I kept thinking, man, if I would have just waited another half hour, maybe, you know, I wouldn't have had to get all that testing. But the point is that, you know, God did that. And the way I would have liked it done is I would have liked the pain to stop 5 minutes after it started, right? That's how we are. But I felt like God say, I'm with you. You're going to, you know, it's okay. I'm with you through this. And I was like, through what? You know, it's like, what am I going to go through here, you know? But it's the idea that he said that. And then at the end of it all, you know, the doctor was very surprised that from some of the stories the nurses were saying, you know, that's pretty unusual to have it all done in 2 hours or whatever it was. And so it's kind of like, you know, God did that. But it's this tension for those, you know, however long it was for me, like 4 hours, 2 hours, 2.5 hours of pain, couple hours in the hospital with mostly no pain during that time. What is it, you know, the tension of believing God during that time? What do we believe God for? And often when we're challenged by things in the natural, it shifts our belief system. Because what's actually in your heart is what's going to come out during those times. And I remember when I was walking around at home, it was less painful for me to walk than to sit down. And so I was holding our kitchen counter. I was kind of walking around there. You know, my family was praying for me. But I remember thinking, God, I believe you no matter what. I mean, it's kind of one of those things. It's just like, I know that at some point I'm going to be okay. And we FaceTime our kids. And they, you know, they were just like, oh, good, finally, Dad, you were healed. We knew God was going to do that. I mean, they didn't have any other thinking because that's just kind of the way we've developed the Word of God in these areas. And so I want to focus in on that, just the simplicity of believing God. Some of the best strategies of the enemy is to put shackles on your belief systems, so that you feel like you're carrying around a weight and the miraculous or the impossible, it feels like God will never do that for you. How many of you feel that way? You don't have to raise your hands. But it's often we feel like God is going to do things for others, but not for us. And that is quite simply, that doesn't make you unusual, because God's going to do things for all his people. He's not a respecter of persons. But again, what is manifested out of your life is actually based on what you believe about God. Like I'm just going to say this. I believe that God is a God of the miraculous, that he is a God of the impossible. I remember another time that it just popped in my head, but when our ministry was at the Grand Horizon Center, I live in Middlebury area, and so I had to drive about a half hour to get there, maybe a little less than that. And I remember I was coming for Sunday morning, and I was trying to remember on Saturday night that I had no gas in my car. It had said the night when I pulled into the garage, it says, you know, the gauge says 6 miles left till empty. So I had no gas, and I was trying to remember. I got to get up a little early, go get gas, and then, you know, drive to church that day. It was a Sunday morning. And I woke up that morning, and I felt this kind of urgency, and I couldn't figure out what it was. But the urgency was you need to go and get there. And I was a little early, and I couldn't remember what was going on. But because I felt that urgency, I forgot all about the gas. And so I started driving from Middlebury, which, you know, let's say 20 miles to 25 miles maybe. And I'm driving all the way there, and I'm going down 19, and all of a sudden I remember I have no gas. And I look at the gauge, it's zero. My thing is way underneath. You know, it's far beyond 6 miles the night before, and sometimes when you level it off, it all of a sudden goes down to zero, you know what I mean? And so I was driving, literally, I had no gas left. And the thing was down here, and I was like, what is happening? That is odd, because I've run out of gas before. And so I pulled into the first gas station that I came to on the right, and I thought, man, I'm lucky. And when I got out, I filled up with gas, and all of a sudden this guy delivering soda pop, he pulled up, and he started to unload. And God said, you have to talk to that man right there. And I felt this weight in the spirit. This is like, I don't know what's happening. It's a life and death thing for him. I don't know what it is. I don't know anything about him. But I felt like I had to go pray for that man no matter what. And it was a heavy deal to God. And so it was one of those things where I wrestled with it a little bit, but then it was just so heavy. I went over there and I said, sir, I know this sounds strange, but I feel like God wants me to pray for you, and he wants me to know that wants you to know that he loves you, and do you care if I pray for you? And he goes, no, I guess not, that's fine. And I put my hands on him, and I prayed for him, and then I told him basically, you know, how to find Jesus, that God is after him, and I walked away feeling kind of a holy fear. I had no idea what was going to happen to that guy, but that timing was significant, that God drove me on no gas all the way there, and when I pulled in there because I finally remembered, he brought it back to my mind, but it was all for that guy. And it's because, some of the reasons that is because I believe God is going to do those kind of things. I believe that God will do the miraculous for the sake of love. Because he's after people. All of the acts of the kingdom or the healing that we're talking about tonight is a dimension or a value system of the kingdom of God that he wants to dispense into the world. It's not about whether you're good at it or not at the end of the day. It's about the flow of the Holy Spirit because of love. Because he wants to touch hearts. He wants to warn people. He wants people to come into the knowing and the knowledge of who he is and come into relationship with him. And so for us on a personal level, what does that mean? It means that we have to grapple with scripture that talks about what we are to believe with God. How do we come into agreement with God? Many Christians live their lives not in agreement with the Holy Spirit, but resisting him. Meaning, the Bible says it's possible to quench the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we just kind of go, you know, God loves us so much, let's not think about those things. But the Bible is very specific, and there's areas where we can actually resist the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll say a big statement tonight. We are all resisting the Holy Spirit in some way in our lives tonight. That's just the way it is. None of us have perfectly renewed minds right now. And if you do, I want to talk to you because I haven't found that person yet. But the idea is that you have to understand the James 4:7 principle, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The submission to God is coming into agreement and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God as your truth foundation and the value system of the kingdom of God. You're coming into agreement with it. And so what does that mean for us with healing? One of the things that I've arrived, you know, I've kind of not arrived, but I've left the gate at is the healing ministry. Because I found when I first got into ministry, it was controversial in the body of Christ. People believe all kinds of things about healing. And so I thought, I've got to find my way, not through anybody else's opinions or belief systems. I'm going to search the Scripture. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead me. And that's and then I arrived in a lot of areas by researching Scripture. But one of the most profound areas is from John 1, 17 through 18. This is for me, it was a profound foundation. I'm going to give you some passages of Scripture here just to set this up. But in John 1, 17 through 18, it says, for the law was given through Moses, meaning the law was a standard of holiness, like the Ten Commandments. It tells you what it would be like to be like God. You'd have to follow all the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law to be just like God. It was a standard. Now, Paul said that standard will actually kill you. That's what the law did. It showed you your sin, and the wages of sin is death. So the law never gave you life. It actually killed you. Then it says, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so that's a profound statement. It means that all truth, all theology that you want to rest on, healing theology or any other theology, is in Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand what Jesus did. And then it says, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, but he has explained him, meaning Jesus has explained the Father. So, you know, we know that Jesus was God, but he was demonstrating who the Father was on earth. And that's what this Scripture says. In Hebrews 1:1-3, in verse 3, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, and he, Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. Meaning, the point I'm getting to here is Jesus revealed who God actually is as he walked around in earth in human form. And then there's several other places where he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. You remember those scriptures in John? That means that Jesus didn't manifest anything, even though he was the living Word. He didn't manifest anything unless he saw his Father doing it, which means I'm explaining who Father God is to humanity through me. And so we can confidently say that what Jesus demonstrated is God's will for humanity. And that's where this goes. This is an important reality. Because when you start studying the life of Jesus, you're actually studying God's will to humanity. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, it says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There's another scripture that says Jesus is the image of God. Hebrews said he's the exact representation. John says that Jesus has explained his Father. Do you see that flow there? Now, this is critical at the healing, for the healing ministry. Because when we realize that Jesus is demonstrating his Father's will, we see what Jesus did with healing, we start to realize that this is his will to humanity. John 12:45 says, he who sees me sees the one who sent me. John 10:37-38 says, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Is that enough scripture to establish that? What you know, that Jesus is demonstrating his Father's will. There's several other passages, but I want to say if he is demonstrating his Father's will on the earth to humanity, let's look at the life of Jesus when it comes to the healing ministry. Now, the healing ministry is very specific outflow of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 4, when Jesus started his ministry, he started preaching this saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," in Matthew 4. And when he preached that, another way you can say that is, repent, change your mind, change the way you think. Repentance is repentance from sin, of course. That's the foundation of it. But change the way you think. The kingdom of heaven is now within your reach. What he's saying is, I am God. I'm demonstrating God. I'm a human being, but I am God. And I'm demonstrating my Father's kingdom. And right after that, right at the end of Matthew 4, it says that the people that were listening to him, he healed them all. All of them. He didn't pick and choose. He healed all of them. What he was saying is, when the kingdom of heaven encounters illness, sickness, disease, pain, suffering, all those kind of things, it eradicates it. It gets rid of it out of the human frame. Does that make sense? He said, "Repent, for my kingdom is now within your reach. Now let me demonstrate my kingdom," at the end of Matthew 4. Then he taught Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and he explained the value system of the kingdom of heaven. He explained the Beatitudes, how you're blessed, you know. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." He's not giving commandments. He's saying, if you are anointed or you act in a place of reconciliation or the act of peacemaking in relationship, you're going to be blessed. Because the kingdom of God is going to bless you acting that way, and you'll be called a son of God, or the identities, you'll be called a child of God. This isn't exclusive to men, of course. It's an identity thing. They'll say, "You are just like God. You're a peacemaker." And you'll have this blessing that flows in that. Jesus taught about how to operate in his kingdom, and he taught about how to carry your heart before him. He said that if your hand causes you sin, to cut it off. Now, he didn't mean that literally, but he talked about the flow of deception. He said it's better for you to deal so directly with sin before the deception overtakes you, and then you're thrown in hell at the end of your life. He's saying that the way life is intense in these areas, and you got to watch out for it. He's a tender shepherd. That's how you have to treat him. And so back to the healing ministry. If Jesus is revealing God's will to humanity, I'm going to read a whole bunch of passages. Arlette, you don't have to follow me on this necessarily. But I'm going to read a whole bunch of passages, and what I want you to do is look at the life of Jesus and ask yourself the question, if he is revealing his Father to humanity, what is his heart for healing after I read all these to you, okay? I'm going straight to the Word. Acts 10:38 says, "You know Jesus of Nazareth." This is Peter preaching, okay, one of the apostles after Jesus is gone. He's preaching an anointed message. Peter had a couple anointed messages in Acts. One was Acts 2 and one was Acts 10. And Peter says, "You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now, when I read that, when I was studying the healing ministry, he said that healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That means whoever Jesus healed, whatever sickness or disease it was, or anything of that nature, Peter called it an oppression of the devil. Now, that doesn't mean if you have long-term illness that, you know, God is rejecting you or something of that nature. It only means that we live in a world that has a spiritual war going on. And sometimes we have to line up with the Word of God individually, find out what the Word says for us, for the word to begin to work on our behalf. I mean, literally, so many times people, our preachers can preach. They can give you a menu of the word of God. They can give you, like giving you a menu at a restaurant. They can say, this is good stuff right here. But unless you read the menu and order the food and eat the food, it will never produce anything in you. And so many people depend on other people's anointings or leaders' anointings or pastoral anointings, and God never set up his kingdom that way. What works for one will work for another. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. And so we have this reality where we can grapple with the word of God. And in my family, we, like, I'm just saying this to encourage you, we've done this for a long time now. That doesn't mean we all seal. And my kids get sick far less. My youngest one has hardly ever been sick because we started coming into this reality. Now, I'm not saying that to boast or anything like that. It just, I don't like illness. I don't like it. I don't like it when my, you know, one of my kids early in her years, my daughter, where she's the oldest, when she was a baby, I hated it when she had fevers. I hated it when she was lying around and had no energy. And then I started grappling with this, and I started seeing miracles happen to my kids. Just the other day, yesterday, my son Ethan, the school called, said he's got all these symptoms. And this has happened about five times with him now. And the school's kind of concerned, and they say, we got all this stuff going around. And so my wife, I was in a meeting with a friend in Mishawaka, and she said, what do you want to do? Do you want me to pick them up? Because sometimes I'll call them and pray for them, and then they go back to class. But I said, just pick him up if he has a headache, and he had stuff in his throat, and he had a sore throat, and it was kind of clogging him. And so she went to pick him up, and she said, I'll just take him to work. I mean, both her and I were not afraid that he would be laid up, even though, you know, earlier this year, both my sons had strep throat for a while. We had to get antibiotics. We don't do stupid stuff. When we notice that they need something, we go do that because God's on our side. He's working. If we do something that doesn't seem like faith, it's not like it goes, oh, you didn't choose faith. No. Medical doctors are a blessing to us, okay? They really are. And so, but I'm going to choose God first, okay? Like I did with the kidney stone. I'm going to choose God first. And then, you know, when I had it for a while, I went in, and then he disintegrated in there. The CT scan, I appreciated that because it showed everything was okay in there. So I know that now down the road, you know, that's all right. I got a couple things to work on that was age-related, he said, but that, you know. And so Ethan, my wife prayed for him. She picked him up from school. He had these symptoms. He had a headache. He had this. She prayed for him on the way to work until we call it the pain level from 10, until it was all the way down. The headache is gone. And all of a sudden, this is gone. She stopped and picked up a root beer for him. And I said, how's Ethan doing? She sent a picture of Ethan smiling, drinking a root beer at work, you know, 1 hour after he had all these symptoms. And that has happened like five times with Ethan. Josh today, when I picked him up at school, he got in the car and he doubled over in pain. And I said, what's wrong? He said, I have a stomach ache. And he's not one to act up either like normal. This is our youngest that's rarely been sick. And so I said, okay. I reached back and I said, grab my hand. And he grabbed my hand. And I said, in the name of Jesus, pain go out of his belly. And I said, is it changed? No, it's not changed. So I don't turn around and keep driving. I started driving out, but I said, okay, Josh, here we go again. Pain go in Jesus' name. And we had other kids in the car. And then I turned back around and I'm driving. About 5 minutes later, I looked in the back and he was horsing around and doing all these things. He wasn't doubled over anymore. I said, Josh, what? How's your belly? Oh, it's gone. I mean, it's just those are the, why can't we have those kind of, that kind of living? That's my point. I feel like God wants to encourage many of you tonight to believe him for things that you have given up on. long-term things. I'm talking not just about physical things and the healing ministry for physical bodies. I'm talking about heart issues. I'm talking about relationship issues, because Jesus is our Savior, our healer, our deliverer. Isaiah 53, it says that he bore our griefs and sorrows. If you translate that back, that means pains and sicknesses. He bore them on the cross. He was pierced through for our transgressions. That's our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's our perversions and our rebellion, our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's a prophecy of Jesus, what he did on the cross. And God, I believe, wants us to partake of the benefits of the kingdom of God. King David said in Psalm 103, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals all our diseases and forgives all our sins." And the point is, again, that we're just believing God. It's back to the simplicity of the gospel. Okay, now I'm going to zip through these. Matthew 4, 23 and 24 says, remember, Jesus is manifesting his Father's will. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread through all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Now think about that for a minute. I always try to think of what the crowd was like. The news spread, and all of a sudden, all these people are being drug in to just get down to Jesus. The demoniacs were manifesting, and they would definitely manifest around the Son of God, right? And then the epileptics are, you know, there's all kinds of things happening, and the crippled, they're all being drug in. There's no wheelchairs or nothing. Imagine the smell, you know, the body odor, honestly. Imagine all of what's going on, and Jesus is healing them all. Now remember, he says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing this. Matthew 8, 16, 17, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. There's a New Testament insert there in the Word of God that confirms Isaiah 53. There's a lot of theologians out there that say Isaiah 53 is all about the healing or the forgiveness of sin only. But this scripture proves that it's to fulfill, spoken through Isaiah the prophet, he himself took on infirmities, carried away our diseases. Matthew 9:35 says that Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Matthew 14:14, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick. Now, I'm not finding a lot of sporadic healing here. Does that make sense? I'm just not finding it. And the idea then is, if this is what Jesus was demonstrating, he only saw his Father doing it, what's different today than back then? Absolutely nothing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What changes is not God. Now Jesus wants us to absolutely build our lifestyles on the Word of God or the rock. At the end of Matthew 7, remember, he's teaching all the values of his kingdom. At the end of Matthew 7, he said, if you build your house on the sand, when the storms come up, it'll break down and your foundation will fall apart. But if you build your house on the rock, and the rock is Jesus, he's the Word of God, he demonstrated it. Now, I'm running out of time, so I have like 20 more to read. My point in showing you this is, when you study the life of Jesus and you realize what he did, what we want to do as individuals is to begin to pursue God, to line up with the Word of God and line up with the Holy Spirit about what he wants to give us, or better yet, what he's already given us through the cross, through Isaiah 53 reality. Josh, why don't you come on up here? We're gonna move into ministry here shortly. Luke 5, 15 through 16, but the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. Jesus actually slipped away sometimes from those large crowds to pray and to have fellowship with his Father. And so, you know, for another day, we need to talk about the outflow of the healing ministry or what it means for you personally. But here's what Jesus said to a few people. He said to individuals, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's one thing he said. And then he healed this, you know, he healed the man. He said to another, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And it comes down to believing God. This is faith, of course. But it's sometimes we don't see immediate results. And when you don't see immediate results, you have to ask yourself the question, what do you do when you don't see immediate results? Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, it says that he was hungry, and he cursed the fig tree. When he cursed the fig tree, nothing happened to it right away. He said, "You're not going to bear fruit anymore." Then they went into the city, and I always kind of chuckle about this, but that's where he went into the temple with a whip and cast out all those all those guys that were. He said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." He was hungry, and then he went in with the whip. I said, you know, sometimes there's a correlation there. You know, he's fasting, and no. I mean, he had a holy, righteous anger when he did that. Then the next day they came out, and the disciples had heard him curse the fig tree, and they saw that it was withered a day later. And they go, "Look at that." And after that is where Jesus said, kind of like, "What are you guys doing? Have faith in God. Don't limit God anymore." And he says, if you speak to your mountain and you believe, you have faith and you speak to your mountain, the mountain will move. And he says, have faith in God. But he was piggybacking off the principle of the cursing of the fig tree. So sometimes when you speak to your mountain, you don't see it move right away. But if you believe in your heart because your relationship with God and grappling with his word and searching the healing scriptures, your heart's going to begin to line up with that and you're going to be able to receive more from God. I had one time where I was really learning this kind of the healing flow. And you know, some people go, "You know what, Dave, I disagree with you." That's okay. That is totally okay. That doesn't bother me in the least bit. Because I know sometimes people just don't. They don't believe in the healing ministry or anything like that. But I'm going this way because I've, from what I found and was convicted of in Scripture for myself. And I like to see the working of God. I love it. I'm hungry for it. One time I was doing a healing service several years ago. And I was carrying my son Ethan into the house. And we had this concrete step up into the house, and I stumbled, and I was carrying him, and I held him, and I came down funny on my ankle, and I heard a pop, and I felt pain, and I went, "Ah!" You know, I yelled, and my son looked up at me, because I had set him on the floor by then. I was kind of down on my knee, and he was, like, scared, and I said in my mind, "I don't have time for this. I literally do not have time for this. I can't be," like, I was thinking, this is, like, bad. I mean, 3 months, I was thinking those things, 3 months. You know, I had fear, I had anxiety and all those things. And then I said, "No, in the name of Jesus, this isn't going to happen." I took a step and I cried out again. I was like, "Ow!" And I said, "You be healed in Jesus' name. You're going to support me and you're going to be normal in Jesus' name." I took another step. It hurt. Another step, it didn't hurt. Boom. I ran around the house, and my son came flying around the house that we had this circle, and we ran around. I was praising God because my ankle was totally fine, and my son was so ecstatic because he had heard me cry out in pain. I mean, this is just because It's time for us to believe God, not even just in the healing ministry, but believe God for the impossible, for miracles, for to walk with Him. And I feel like tonight, He wants to release healing tonight, but there's many of you He wants to release you from the things that are hindering your movement with God, hindering your faith, if you will, hindering your belief. Some of you got to move your belief from here to here, from intellectualism down to a heart level. And there's many people that are just coasting, just doing Christianity. They're not thinking of these things. But we have this huge inheritance in the kingdom of God that we can wrestle through. And you can start speaking to stuff tonight. That's the glorious reality. You might not always see things right away, but stick with it and begin to believe it because you're in the Word of God. Why don't you stand? I'm just going to begin to release the worship team. We're going to release, if you need prayer for any reason, you can come forward. I'm going to release the healing team. You can come up right now, healing team. And we're going to just, we might not be able to spend all kinds of time with you, but we're going to pray for you. And I guarantee you that we believe God on your behalf tonight. I believe God wants to touch people tonight. I believe we're going to see some healings tonight. Maybe some miracles. I mean, whatever God wants to do. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just release your presence and your peace in this place. Holy Spirit, I pray for a movement right through every person in here. Thank you, Lord. If you want to receive prayer for to be unshackled, to run with God, or you feel like the enemy's been limiting you in your belief system, we want to pray for all that too. Thank you, Lord. And we're just going to kind of turn this into worship time and that kind of thing. If you actually have to leave now, it's 8:30, feel free to be dismissed. But we're going to turn this into a prayer room for 15 minutes. Thank you.
dismiss everybody if you need to go. I want to tell you one more quick testimony. An acquaintance of mine had asked for prayer last week because his wife had gone in. She was pregnant. And the doctor said there's 1% chance that the baby's going to live. And they prepared them for a miscarriage. And he told some guys, you know, and we all prayed. And just found out today, he came back, and they were getting ready to clean out her belly, do all that thing. They did an ultrasound, and they found the heartbeat right away and a healthy baby. And this, you know, the guy said, you know, I cried in front of everybody, you know, like he never does that. But God just did a miracle. And I believe we're in that season right now where God wants us to believe Him for those things. Ask Him for those things. Walk in that reality. Sometimes don't take no for an answer. Keep going. It's okay. You know, if you don't see something right in the natural right away, when my boys got strep throat and they weren't getting healed after several days, we took them to the doctor. We got antibiotics, cleared up. It's okay, but that didn't change the way I believe about what I've seen God do in their lives several other times. And some of you parents need to hear that, and you need to lay hands on your kids and just keep going and enjoy that reality in God. He wants to have fun with it. So God bless you if you need to go. Take care. Thanks for coming.